Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17, and I'll read all the way through verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to say this. I became pastor here on July the 3rd. Actually, the Wednesday before that, I spoke as the pastor, and then Dee and I were both diagnosed with COVID, and so we missed our first official Sunday here. And during the course of interacting with Brother Charles, I learned that after he got ill with cancer, he asked God to give him 10 more years. And I found out about that. And so when I got to know him and around July the 3rd, I started praying for 10 more years starting then. Amen. And that's what we're trusting God for. That's what we're believing him for. And brother, you're a great minister. And I thank God for the worship service that you've led, for the special music you provided, and for the counsel that you give me. He keeps me out of trouble most of the time. He's not going to own that one. Most of the time, I said. And we thank the Lord for him. God bless you, Brother Charles. Thank you, Suzette, again for your help. We appreciate it so much. Again, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. I'll read through verse 21. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Lord, we come to you again and ask your blessings upon the preaching of this hour. I pray that you would bless the opportunity that I have to proclaim your truth. Continue to fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask in Jesus' name that you'd bless both this worship service and the time that we have in fellowship over Fifth Sunday dinner soon to follow. God, I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if there be someone here that's not saved, help them to come to Jesus today. Help them respond to the invitation time. God, help them to be saved. For those of us who know you, God, help us to take other steps of obedience, whether it be baptism, whether it be some area of service, or whether it be church membership. God, whatever it would please you, we'll thank you for all that you do, for it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, the opening word in our text in verse 17 is the word wherefore, and it causes us to reflect on the closing thought of the previous passage in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The website gotquestions.org, and by the way, I do recommend that website if you have questions about the Bible or Bible teachings. It's very helpful and consistent doctrinally. The website gotquestions.org says this about this important topic. It's important to know God's will. The message this morning is understanding God's will, by the way. I read on. Jesus said that his true relations are those who know and do the Father's will. Mark 3 and verse 35 says, For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. In the parable of the two sons, Jesus rebukes the chief priests and elders for failing to do the will of the Father. Specifically, they did not repent and believe, according to the English Standard Version. At its most basic, the will of God is to repent of our sin and trust in Christ. If we've not taken that first step, then we've not accepted God's will. If you've never trusted Christ, then now you know that it's God's will that you come to him in salvation. You come to the Father in salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in another place, if any man thirst, let him come. You see, that's why we have public invitations in our church, because Jesus himself, in a very religious setting, in the midst of the temple, raised his voice in a loud cry and said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me." And we have an invitation at the end of our service to give you opportunity to come literally and be saved, to come literally and kneel and do business with God about areas of service, to come literally and take other stands that Jesus is leading you to take. If the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about following the will of the Father by coming to Jesus Christ, come to him in saving faith now. You don't even have to wait for the invitation time, but you can bow your head and say, "God, I've sinned against you. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for me. And I want to be saved and I want to follow you forever and spend eternity in heaven with God." You certainly can do that right now where you sit. Matthew Henry states, "Wherefore," says the apostle in verse 17, "because of the badness of the times, be ye not unwise, ignorant of your duty and negligent about your souls, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Study, consider, and further acquaint yourselves with the will of God as determining your duty." Thus, the introduction of the topic, understanding the will of God, is driven by the fact that we live in troubled and turbulent times, and we must live wisely in those. Again, Matthew Henry, "Ignorance of our duty and neglect of our souls are evidences of the greatest folly, while an acquaintance with the will of God and a care to comply with it bespeak the best and truest wisdom. It is the ultimate in wisdom and obedience to seek and understand God's will. Therefore, every person must know the will of God." You say, "Mac, how is it that I can know the will of God?" Well, we've got 4 points this morning. Nobody panic. We're going to take a little bit of time here, but we've got dinner to come. And I've been instructed that I cannot release you until I get an emissary from the kitchen saying that we're ready. And so I'll just take all the time I want. Somebody say amen right there. And then when the door opens up, we'll go ahead and dismiss. But there are 4 concepts that we'll look at this morning. It won't take long, I promise you. But as we consider knowing the will of God, how is it that we can know the will of God? Well, first of all, we can know the will of God by seeking the right spirit. The Bible says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, there is a clear prohibition against drunkenness in this verse of Scripture. And everybody wants the preacher to take a position on beverage alcohol here. The teetotalers among us want me to preach the rest of the message against alcohol. And those of you who imbibe from time to time, you want me to tell you that it's okay to do that. Well, let me just say this. If you think that alcohol is the point of the verse, you've missed the mark. The point of the verse is, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit." The point of the verse is being filled with the Spirit. And anything that stands between us and the filling of the Holy Spirit is not the will of God. The point of the verse being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, the structure of the language here makes understanding the will of God and the issue of drunkenness really secondary issues, although we're speaking from the thesis of verse 17, understanding the will of the Lord. Once you've been saved, then the issue becomes yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit's filling. The Holy Spirit's filling is an imperative command, and there is no option. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, just as a side note, you say, "Now, Mac, what is this thing about being filled with the Spirit? Does it mean speaking in unintelligible utterances? Does it mean healing people miraculously? Does it mean being a soul winner? What does it mean?" Well, we believe that the apostolic gifts are no longer operant today. The miraculous sign gifts, tongues, prophecy, and knowledge, we believe that they have ceased. And by the way, somebody that believes differently, if you look in the New Testament, you find that the believers in the New Testament, the apostles of the New Testament, were able to raise the dead. And so if somebody wants to claim that they have apostolic authority or that they can exhibit the sign gifts today, I want to go to the funeral and see the body raised from the dead. Somebody say amen right there. Notice with me, not only do we seek the right spirit to understand the will of God, but in the second place, we sing the right song. I'm really trying to get in trouble here, Brother Charles. You need to bail me out. I want you to notice singing the right song. Notice with me in verse 19, the scripture says, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Now, I know when the preacher starts talking about music, you expect a scolding about what you probably listen to or a lecture on what we need to do to modernize our music program. Matter of fact, some of us hear the word music and we don't hear the word music at all. We hear the word change. Isn't that true? Sure it is. But I want you to understand, first of all, this is a personal issue. It's not necessarily a matter of corporate worship, though it certainly applies to corporate worship. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And there are three categories of musical worship identified here. Psalms, that's the striking the chords of a musical instrument or a pious song. That there are hymns, that's a song about God and reflecting doctrines in reference to God. And spiritual songs, songs that teach us about God and teach us about spiritual things. Listen, what should be of more concern than the style of music we may enjoy is the question of what we listen to, sing, and enjoy. Because this is evidence that we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How is it that we can know the will of God? Well, by seeking the right spirit. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Secondarily, by singing the right song. And then in the third place, by thanking the right Savior. Notice with me in verse 20. Giving thanks always to all things for God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This thought communicated to us by the text is that we need to be thankful. You know, it's hard to get in a fuss with someone about what they do in reference to, say, beverage alcohol or what they do in reference to their music. It's hard to do that when you're busy thanking God. It's hard to be critical of another when you're giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be thankful for all always, and we're to be thankful for all things. This thankfulness is directed to God through Jesus Christ, reminding us once again that the gospel is the threshold issue here. Understanding the will of God begins with the understanding that you need to be saved and that salvation, a relationship with the Father, comes only through Jesus Christ and by being born again, as we've discussed earlier. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to understand the will of God by seeking the right spirit, by singing the right song, by thanking the right Savior, and then in the fourth place, by submitting to the right subjects. Notice with me, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This comment is a prelude to the verses that follow, where there's a discussion of how marriage reflects the relationship between Christ and His church. We'll deal with that reflection next Sunday. We'll discuss the relationship and the complementary roles played in the partnership known as marriage. But for now, we need to think of the need to submit one to another. The outline of biblical usage indicates that the word submit was a Greek military term meaning to arrange troop divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. But notice this, in non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. And that's what's operant here. This is a voluntary situation. Excuse me. I attended college with a group of men who were predominantly from a military background. They were great guys, and many of them became great leaders. But some of them could never make the transition from a world where they gave and were given orders to a world of voluntary submission. In their leadership, they acted like someone was under the uniform code of military justice and had to absolutely follow their orders as opposed to working with volunteers. I always try to keep in mind that in the context of the New Testament church, no one is compelled to do any ministry. No one is compelled to do anything except by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And the fact of the matter is that the leadership of the Holy Spirit will always take us into a situation where we're submissive one to another. We serve in a spirit of submission because God is so great, not because we're under someone else's command. We serve in a spirit of submission because God is so great, not because we are under someone's command. You say, Mac, you talk about knowing the will of God. How is it that we can do that? Well, by seeking the right spirit, by singing the right song, by thanking the right Savior, by submitting to the right subjects one to another. You say, Mac, but why is it that I need to understand God's will? What is it that's so important about understanding God's will? Well, first of all, understanding God's will is the ultimate expression of wisdom. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, verse 17, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Because in understanding God's will, we're literally put together. Have you ever heard someone say they needed to get it together? They needed to get their act together? Well, when we begin to understand the will of God, God puts us together. This concept of understanding is the putting together of a puzzle. And God will put that puzzle together for us as we yield ourselves to Him and as we seek to understand the will of God. Why is it that we need to understand God's will? Well, because understanding God's will is the ultimate expression of wisdom. Because in understanding God's will, we're literally put together. And then in the third place, and finally, because it is, after all, the will of God. Understanding the will of God. And it's important for us to realize that this is the will of God that we're talking about. This is not the will of man. I've never come to someone and said, it's God's will for you to serve in a particular place. I've never come to someone and said, it's God's will for you to be a Sunday school teacher, or it's God's will for you to... Now, I've asked and said, would you pray about the possibility of doing something, fulfilling a role? But it's not my business to command. It's my business to lead. It's not my business to order. It's my business to submit myself one to another with you in the will of God, and follow the Lord in the cause of Christ here in this place. That is the will of God. See, it's not a matter of me coming in and commanding. It's a matter of me coming in and submitting. I submit to you, you submit to me. We submit ourselves one to another, and we begin to understand the will of God. And it's critical that we do so because it is the will of God. It's the will of God that you be saved. It's the will of God that you serve God specifically. And it's the will of God that you join yourself with a New Testament body in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you'd bless during the invitation time.